Well, we've come tonight in Genesis chapter 45 to the story of Joseph forgiving his brothers. We have been looking in four parts at this story, and it's been spread out about every other or every third Sunday night through the summer with all the other things that we've had on Sunday nights going on. And tonight we've come to chapter 45 and the actual time when Joseph forgives his brothers. And so tonight I want to speak about forgiveness. I want to think about this story. I sure want to invite your input, and I'll give you an opportunity at the end to tell me what you see and you think and you feel. When I preach, when I teach, I really want it to be more interactive than it usually is, because I want you to interact with the story. I want you to be thinking and praying, God, what do you say to me in this story? And I know that when I listen to somebody else preach, oftentimes they might be preaching about one thing, but God's speaking to me about something else. Or sometimes it's related to the story, but I really want to encourage you. I know we're in a pattern where I stand up here and talk, and you sit down there and you listen. But I want you to be able to share and tell me what God says to you, especially about the area of forgiveness or maybe something else in this story tonight as we read it. I think we get far more out of it when we approach it as what's God saying to me and what can I learn from this story. Turn with me, if you would, to chapter 45, and I'm going to read the first 15 verses of Genesis chapter 45. It's a powerful story. It's an emotional story. It's a story with a lot in it. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard of it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made my father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourself, and so can my brother Benjamin, that is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." There's one word that's not found in this story. It's the word forgiveness. But this story is all about forgiveness. It's about a lot of things, but forgiveness is the word that comes to my mind and my heart as I think about this story. We've taken a pretty good look over the last 3 months about this great grandson of Abraham, this man named Joseph, and the incredible life that he has had. He's had some of the deepest valleys, I would say, of Joseph's valleys. That probably some of you have been in valleys as deep as Joseph has been. He's a real person with a real story, and we can learn from him. He's had some of the great heights of life and accomplishments, and I don't know what all accomplishments you've had, but maybe there are elements of Joseph's life that you can relate to, of the great things that happened to him. He's had some of both. One thing that Joseph has in common with all of us is there are times in life when we face the decision of forgiveness that is not easy to do. There's some things that we know about Joseph that we have focused on or we see in the story throughout these chapters. And incredibly, Genesis takes a long time to describe Joseph's life. I mean, when you look at the number of chapters that are about Joseph, it's one of the three or four. He is a character in the Bible with about the third most information about as far as details of his life. We know of Joseph that he's become a great leader. He's been a leader in Egypt, second in authority to Pharaoh himself. That would tell us a lot about who he is and his abilities and his trustworthiness and the path that God allowed in his life to rise to this place of prominence. We would say for sure that God has gifted Joseph in a great way. I mean, God's had his hand on him. God's given Joseph some abilities and skills. The ability to interpret dreams to start with is one thing, and that's an incredible gift that God gave to him. God also has given him an incredible gift of being a great manager, a great decision maker, a great leader, and he's been able to take the information that God gave him and apply it to the needs in Egypt and be in this place that every little indication we find in these chapters is that Joseph is a great leader and a greatly trusted man. He's a man that God has blessed and God has given great opportunity with, but you'd also say of Joseph that he's done well in the midst of how God has given him opportunities. God's given him opportunities, God has been with him, and Joseph has been an honorable man in the midst of the blessings of God. You would say, too, of Joseph that he was a great planner. He's a great administrator. He'd have to be in order to get done what he has, and had a great mind and a great relationship with people. It would seem that Joseph had, he's learned a lot. I mean, at the age of 17, he had a lot to learn, but somehow maybe in the prison and in the injustices of life that God continued to work inside of him, and he developed great abilities and great insight. And from all that we've seen, he's done incredibly well. And he's gained the highest praise of just about everyone in his life. I mean, you look at Pharaoh, you look at the Egyptian masters, you look at his servants. I mean, you just look at the people around Pharaoh and the respect for him that we see in between the lines of this story. In many ways, he's just a great man. I also know about Joseph that he never forgot where he was from. He never forgot that he was a Hebrew. He never forgot that he was a descendant of Abraham. He never forgot the promises that had been passed on to him over the generations, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And at 17 years old, he was taken out of that environment and completely ripped away from all those things that connected them to the heritage of the promises of the patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But we find out that he's not forgotten those things. We find out as we look between the lines and we hear things that he has that are found in the story, that he has always sensed that there's something that God was calling him to do and wanted to use him to do. As painful as life was for him, at 30 years old, at least 17 years of those, Joseph seems to hold on to that sense that God has placed him in the place that he's in, and he's going to live in those circumstances, and he's going to do the best he can. He's not going to allow the pain of life to embitter him or cause him to lose his faith in God. Somehow Joseph is an incredible example to me of a man who, no matter what happens in life, whether it's the deepest pit or it's the highest mountain, he's a man that allows his faith in God to be the same in the midst of both. And I think that's an incredible part of Joseph's life and Joseph's character. Another word that I would use to describe Joseph is loyalty. He's been loyal to his master. He was loyal to his first master when he came to Egypt. He did a good job, and And he was so loyal to his master that when temptation came, in his loyalty, he ran out and refused to choose sin. He showed loyalty to his master. He showed loyalty to his heritage. He showed loyalty to what he knew was right. He showed loyalty to God. Later in prison, he showed loyalty to his fellow slaves. When they put him in charge, they found that he did a great job, and they respected him, his fellow prisoners in the prison. And then later on, as he interprets two men's dreams, again, he shows a care for them. Later on, when he's elevated, elevated to this great responsibility, we see the respect that Pharaoh has for him even after this story. We have the response of Pharaoh to finding out about the background and the family and the story of Joseph. And Pharaoh wants to just pour out blessings on Joseph. Everyone in the story and in the scriptures that know Joseph at this time in his life have great respect for him. To his Egyptian servants, to those that are storing the grain and following his orders, we just get this picture of this man who has this incredible character as that part of his life. And he's also loyal to his own family. I know we've described how he seems to play this ruse or this charade, and it's gone on now for a long time with his brothers, and we're trying to sort out what that means and why. But in the midst of all that, what we can say, among other things, is Joseph always takes care of his brothers. He makes sure they have food. He makes sure they have what they need when they go back to the father. He sounds mean, and he sounds tough, and he sounds like he's going to bring some kind of judgment down on them. But when you really look at what he ends up doing, he makes sure that they're taken care of. And he shows this care for the father, that he's careful about how he says it and how he expresses it in the beginning. But you can see in the storyline this great love that he has for his family and loyalty. I'm sure along with all kinds of other mixed feelings about the injustice and the pain and the hurt, Joseph was faithful to his God. He was loyal to man and he was faithful to God. If Joseph had a mean bone in his body, we don't see it. If he had a bone in his body that was cruel or harsh or at this point in his life was anything other than what God wanted to be, we don't see it. It could be. That would lead me to say that of Joseph, we see a deep sensitivity. We see a sensitivity to doing what is right. A sensitivity about other people's fears and feelings, and he's wrestling with them. We see a sensitivity in Joseph. It's been formed and molded and fired by the mountains and the valleys of life, by the years of pain, maybe the years of thinking about what has been done to him and how God has been with him, and God has pulled him up out of where he was at. And whoever Joseph is, he's a sensitive man. And we see that too in his emotions. He's full of emotions. We see the Bible gives us a little bit of an inside track into the humanity of Joseph. The emotional pain, the wrestling, the struggle with forgiveness, the struggle with how you deal with such injustice, and what is a man of God to do when he's been wronged? What is a Christian to do when somebody has wronged us? What should we learn? What should we see? What should we say? God, who can you give me as an example to learn by? How can I learn from the life of Joseph? He's full of emotions as events unfurl in this incredibly unpredictable story, how he's confronted about 22 years after his brothers wanted him dead and settled for selling him into slavery. 22 years since that day, and here they are again. Joseph is 39 years old now. 39 years, Some of you are past that and some aren't there yet. Think about 39 years old and all that he's gone through and all that he's seen, the low and the high. But this is a critical day in Joseph's life. And he's kept it all inside this time of his brothers coming to him. Boy, just think of all that Joseph has kept inside. I don't know if he's talked to anybody about this. At one point in the story, I thought, well, his servants had to have known that he was from where he's from. But there's no evidence that tells us that. There's no evidence that he talked to them about who these men were. Although I said that his servant must have been very confused by his instructions. Take the silver cup and put it in his sack after you gave him extra food at the table. And, you know, I would just guess these servants thinking, Joseph, what's going on? I mean, if they're watching him and they don't know who they are, this man seems to be acting so out of character. But because there's a struggle going on. And that just reminds me that when we're struggling with forgiveness, it can affect all kinds of things on the inside. All kinds of perceptions. All kinds of our theology. All kinds of our views of other people. How we accept and how we look at people who have wronged us. Or when we've been hurt by life. He's been keeping all this on the inside, and there have been little bursts that have started out. I mean, it's like, man, this pot is really boiling over. And there's a couple times when it spilled out on the burner. And somehow Joseph was able to keep it down and move it off. And he's able to get a hold of himself and keep the emotions in and keep in the future the need to deal with the issue and deal with the questions that were there. Up until now, he has managed to force them back until we get to chapter 45, verse 1. And it would just seem like Joseph has reached the point that he can't deal with it anymore. Or it's the right time to deal with it. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." Just imagine what was going through him and in him, and he's struggling with. Now, it's been several weeks since we looked at the prior chapter, but you remember the last time Joseph is listening to Judah, and Judah is pleading with him to allow him to take Benjamin's place of punishment and allow the brothers and Benjamin especially to go back. And it seems like that hit a deep nerve within Joseph. Finally, there's an acknowledgement of the oldest brother, of his responsibility. Whatever all that is, it went on in chapter 44 at the end of the chapter. It's reached a point that Joseph is, you know, I have something in common with Joseph. I'm emotional. You know that. I can't hardly preach this story without feeling emotions. Aren't you glad that not every preacher's like that? We all have different makeups. Some of you are emotional too, and some of you are not at all. I know that. I just thinking, boy, Joseph just had all he could take. And then, boom, it came out. He was coming to the moment when he had to face his emotions. It was time to face the pain. I don't know how many times he had faced it before, but today was the day when he needed to take care of it. He had to face the hatred of 20 some years ago. Now it's between him and his brothers. I think it's interesting he sends the Egyptians out. Not sure exactly why he did that. We speculate about that. Why did he send them out? I mean, these are guys that he's depended on and been loyal to, and he's their leader, and yet it would seem to me that Joseph knows he's got to face these that need to be forgiven too. And so there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And then the dam broke. Can you imagine as he began to look? Each one in the face. I thought, who is Joseph weeping for? He weeps a lot. That's why I say I'm like him, I think. Who is he weeping for when it all came out? I think he was weeping for himself. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know what you think. But you know, it said he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Wow. Wow. Now that is a story. Whatever it was, so loudly. I don't know if anybody's ever felt that deep emotion. Maybe you have. Some of you maybe have. Maybe it's been inside you. But Joseph, it came out and it was loud. You know, good people and bad people alike can be deeply hurting. It's not just that bad people are hurting, but good people can be hurt too. And God allowed in this story for a good man, which I've been talking about the first 10 minutes or so to describe how good of a man he is, but yet he had such deep pain and hurt inside of him. All the grief, maybe all the sorrow, maybe these years of pain. Maybe his weeping had to do more with the other side of it. Maybe it was relief to him. Maybe compassion. Maybe when maybe he feels such deep love, he's able to love these men and his father who's back home, that it's all coming out and he knows it's coming to that place. I'm not sure, but the so loudly here, that description just gets my attention. So loudly. He let it go. And he gives us a great picture of forgiveness when he let it go. He did let it go. What he says after that tells us that he let it go. His brothers are in shock. They can't conceive of what has just happened. I mean, they are living in disbelief at this point. And another word, they're living with terror. They're living with their guilt. Joseph has lived the last 22 years with pain and hurt and grief. His brothers have been living with guilt and the knowledge that what they did was wrong. They've been wrestling with it on this side, and Joseph's been wrestling with it on this side, and here God allows them to come together. And I believe as Joseph weeps, God works in his heart. And Joseph's struggle, perhaps, with the right thing to do and what to do about this situation, and maybe the question of forgiveness that's in him, finds direction. And I do believe that when we wrestle with pain and we wrestle with where we've been wrong, God will work in that and help to lead us out. When we're honest with God, and God helps us to become honest with ourselves. As many times when we've been wronged or we've been hurt, we tend to see everything from a certain perspective. And sometimes when we begin to get honest with God about our hurt and honest with God about what's gone on in our lives, God can begin to show us things about us too. Maybe God put his finger into Joseph's mind and heart and spirit about some things in his attitude. But whatever the case, when we're hurting and we call out to God, God will help us and God will respond to us. And God helps Joseph here. God was with Joseph here. And however long it took Joseph to work through this, God was with him. God was faithful. God helped him to do what was right. I believe that God gave Joseph a character and a spirit within him that took over when the dam broke. When all the emotions came out and all the stuff inside of Joseph came out, God was able to help Joseph to do the right thing. I believe that God helped Joseph instead of demanding justice about what had been done. God gave Joseph the ability to extend mercy. Let me say that again. Where Joseph could have demanded justice, God gave him the ability to extend mercy instead of retribution. Instead of giving his brothers what they deserved, he gave them grace. Instead of anger and hostility, and Joseph claiming his own rights, exercising his power that he had, instead, what do we hear from the lips of Joseph as we just begin to read what he says? The first thing that comes to my mind here is we read how Joseph comforts his brothers. He comforts his brothers. Verse 4 says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" And throughout everything that Joseph says, I mean, there's nothing that Joseph says up until the day he dies other than this, basically. He says to his brothers, "Don't let it distress you. Don't be afraid." He comforts his brothers. I notice he says, you sold me into slavery, but don't be afraid. It's not like Joseph says, "Well, I'm going to pretend it never happened," or "it didn't happen," or, you know, he doesn't like wipe away as if it didn't happen, but he says, "I accept that it happened, but you don't need to be afraid." Forgiveness is like that. Forgiveness is not denying that you've been hurt, denying that someone who is sorry, or even who is not sorry, who is aware that they hurt you, or maybe they really don't even believe that they did anything wrong. Forgiveness is believing, "I was wronged, but I set it aside. I choose to forgive. I make the choice in my heart that Joseph is an example of doing." In so many ways, Joseph's words and actions are really from the heart of God, and I think is a great example and story to how we should view people that have hurt us. What does Joseph do? He comforts his brothers. I also notice about Joseph that he talked to them. I mean, it says that. He says to his brothers, "Come close to me," when they had done so. Now, I assume that might be in part because Joseph wanted them to really be able to look into his face and see his eyes. Who knows what he had on? The Egyptian garb and the makeup that Egyptians, you know, we see that in the movies anyway. They always have a lot of makeup. I don't know if that was true or not. You know, big eyelashes and all that stuff for Pharaoh. But he says, "Come closer. Look into my eyes." I don't know if he might have been thinking, "Look into my heart." You know, there was a distance between him kind of up on the second throne of Egypt and all the people that were down there. But he says, "I want you to approach. I'm coming to you. I want you to come to me." And I think what a picture that is of God. Come closer. Maybe sometimes we need, when we've walked away from God, or we come to that place of understanding what God's forgiveness is, we understand the heart of God when he says, "Come closer. Come closer. Now look me in the eyes. Hear what I have to say. Hear what I have to say." Joseph got down on their level. He brought them up to his level or whatever it is, but he wanted to look them in the eyes. He talks to his brothers and he keeps talking. I mean, when the brothers don't get it, he keeps talking. When the brothers are afraid, he keeps talking. All the things that Joseph said here, maybe I'm like Joseph too in this area, he's a talker. He keeps telling them it's okay. He keeps comforting them. You know, in chapter 50, that's another sermon, but it comes up again. He never once speaks of justice or revenge. Never speaks of, well, let's go back and to remember what happened, boys. Remember what you did to me? Remember what Levi said? Remember what Reuben did? Never comes up. He doesn't need to relive it in order to forgive it. Sometimes a problem with forgiveness is we have trouble and we feel like we've got to relive it. Joseph doesn't do that. He somehow is able to say, I don't need to relive it, but I do choose to forgive it. He never speaks of the circumstances other than to say this here, you sold me into slavery. He doesn't speak of revenge or anything like that. Instead, what Joseph does is incredible. He points them to the hand of God. Instead of bringing up what and who did what and motive and all that, what does he do? He basically says, guys, God sent me ahead of you. It's God's fault. Now that's an interesting twist. I'm not sure theologically what I do with that, but I do notice that it's God's fault. God sent me ahead of you. What Joseph did say is, no matter what people do to me, God is still in charge of my life. No matter what depth I go to or what people do to me or whatever it is, God's in charge of my life. That's incredible faith. It's also incredible grace. Joseph was able to take the things that had been done to him, and he's able to say, God, I give it to your hands. I put it in your hands. God had sent Joseph. We know he was the great-grandson of Abraham, the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and to establish a nation, and Egypt was a part of that plan, and God used all the circumstances in order to bring the people out later, to save them from starvation and then bring them out 350 years later. God sent me ahead of you. God's always ahead of us. Joseph was right about a lot of things, and one of them is that God is always ahead of us. He's ahead of your story. He's ahead of my circumstances. He's ahead of what's going to happen this week. We sure don't know, and we might not be able to guess and understand, but God is out front. He knows what's going to happen. Joseph seemed to have that ability to see God that way. God knows what's going to happen. And because he believed that, he didn't just say it, but he believed it, then he was able to let go what was going on. Joseph had an incredible faith in God. Great example. He has shown incredible strength of faith. What a story, what a picture for us. What did it take for Joseph to forgive like this? What does it take for me to forgive and you to forgive? Several words come to my mind. Number one, it takes courage. It takes courage. It takes effort. It takes decision. It takes making hard choices. It takes surrender. It takes surrender that God is out in front of us. God knows what's going to happen to us, and God will not abandon us in those situations. Forgiveness takes courage. It also takes time. Forgiveness is not like automatic. You know that. I know that. It's a process. Sometimes it takes a long time. We're human. We have emotions and feelings, and we're wired certain ways. Sometimes it takes time. It takes a long time. But we got to have the courage to stay on task when we're dealing with feelings about being hurt. We've got to stay on task as Christians. We have got to have more courage, and a lot of courage to keep going when it gets tough and it gets difficult. It is a journey. It's a journey sometimes through feelings, through injustices, through consequences that we can't control. But the courage to work through is important. What you believe, what you know up here about forgiveness, sometimes takes a long time to get down here into your heart. And you can know that you need to do something about it, but to get to the heart sometimes takes time. It takes the ability to have self-examination. It takes the ability to say, God, look into me, examine me, test me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. It takes patience. We struggle, we fall down, we are made of clay. We don't always know how to do it or what to do with it. That's why stories like this are so good for us. They help us to hold on to the right, to hold on to what's good. It takes patience. It also takes a word that's very close to it. It takes perseverance. Sometimes we've got to keep taking the steps. Sometimes the steps need to be repeated. This seems so true to me about forgiveness. Sometimes people forgive, but then it comes back. They feel like, I've totally lost it again. We're not as far along as we used to be. We went backwards. And, you know, sometimes that's part of it. It takes the perseverance to get back up and keep making the right decision. Keep saying, God, change my heart, change my attitude, change the way I think. Sometimes it seems like we're never going to get there. But it's the courage, the time, the patience, and the perseverance that God can bring us through times when we need to forgive and we struggle with forgiveness. Sometimes we're not as strong as we want to be. And we would give up easy. We'd say we can't do it. And it takes great character to keep trying, to keep working at it. It takes great character. It takes great faith. This quote is not from the Bible. It's unknown to be who said it, but I read it and I thought it was pretty good. It says, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Go on, maybe a couple slides. I don't know where I got out off there, Lillian, if you would, to that. If you would, please. Maybe we're all tied up and it doesn't matter. Let me say that again. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. I don't like the third one. I don't think God promises us that we will forget pain. So I don't like the third one. This is the word I put in there. The first to let it go is the happiest. I don't believe that God says we're going to forget pain. We're going to forget when we're hurt. I don't believe that'll happen. But I do believe that God can help us to let it go. Let it go is an important thing. And let it go is a choice. If you make the choice to let it go, then it loses its power over your emotions. It loses its power to draw you back into that feeling of punishment. And so the first to apologize is the bravest, the first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to let it go is the happiest. Joseph was able to do that. In his heart, this is what he was. Joseph, by this time in his life, seemed to have the ability to do that. It's who he was. So then, he says, it was not you who sent me here, but God. That's quite an attitude for a man to have of forgiveness. He was to forgive far quicker than his brothers were able to be forgiven. And I won't go into that part of the story, but that's another part of the story. Joseph was able to forgive, and those 10 brothers, they couldn't believe it. It's hard to accept. Might have been a lot of things going on in them that would cause him not to be able to accept the forgiveness of Joseph. Very easily, that will be for another time. Forgiveness. A great story.